Genesis. Real good controversial chapter. Lots of good stuff involved. Okay. Verse 1. And Adam knew his wife, Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respected Abel and to his offering, but to Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why are you wroth, and why is your countenance fallen? He said, If you do well, shalt you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel your brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield to you her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from the face of thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that finds me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And to Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took to himself two wives. The name of the one was Adah, the name of the other was Zillah. And Adah bare Jubal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents and such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of such as handle the harp and the organ. And Zillah also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor and artificer of brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, Hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Hearken to my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, She has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son. And he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Bunch of good stuff here. Bunch of good stuff. Let's go back to the first verse. And Adam knew his wife. Well, if he waited this long to know who she was, somebody missed something. He's not talking about saying, oh, there is my wife. He knew her carnally. He's talking about having relations with her so she produced a child. Correct? So the word knew is a little deeper than what is used here. He had a relationship with his wife, and she conceived. And see, when you have a relationship, a man with a woman, that's what happens, isn't it? We're all adults here. We understand this. So when we really have a relationship with our woman, our soul, we're going to produce something, aren't we? Are we going to produce a Cain, or are we going to produce an Abel? Which I didn't say it was. I just said, what are we going to produce? Okay? And she bare Cain. What does the word Cain mean here? It means possession or possessed. I kind of think possessed fits it a little better for Cain. Okay? And she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now there's something really powerful in what she said. Because the word here is Y-A-H, Yahweh, E-H. And the number is 3068 in your Strong. Okay? The reason I say it's important, it's very important. Up to this point, everything has pointed to this word. Elohim 430. Okay? 430. Now, Elohim 430 in your Hebrew language dictionary is, guess what? It's the plurality of God. It was not talking about somebody called the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're talking about first fruit. And if we go into Colossians chapter 1, it says everything was created by who? The Son. Didn't use the name Jesus. It said he, by the Son, and He created all things. That Son is first fruit. And up until this point right here in this first verse of chapter 4, the word Yahweh is not utilized by itself, only in unison with Elohim. And Elohim is a unison of God and man, the perfect God-man. So here is the first time that we see something now. And she's saying, I got it from God. My Father gave me a gift, a son. Okay? And she again, did it again, and bare his brother Abel. What's Abel mean? Breath or spirit. She had two men, two seeds. She had one of the earth and she had one of the spirit. Sound familiar? Same passage all the way through, isn't it? One of the earth, first man's earthy, second man's from the Lord, the spirit from the Lord. Paul spoke about that in his writings. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller or a worker of the ground. The word ground here is Adama. If you're from the earth, you are earthy. You're Adama. Okay? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You ain't Adama. I'm not Adama. We are with God from the very beginning. We were created by the Spirit of God. We didn't come from Adam. Adam came from us. He worked in carnality, absolutely. Now, watch what happens. They're designated as one in the Spirit, one in the flesh. And after a time, not in the process, but after a time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering, and literally it should say a bloodless sacrifice of offering, sacrificial offering. How can you have a sacrificial offering with no blood? Cain knew he was doing something wrong here. Okay? I want to deal well with some of the myths that I've heard. And I'm sure some of you have heard over the years about the process of sacrifice here, about Cain giving the things of the earth and that was bad, and the good things that Abel did. But anyway, he brought the offering up from and he brought it to Yahweh, the Father. And Abel also brought the firstlings or the firstborn of the flock and the fat, or the best or choicest part, unto Abel. And I mean, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, but Cain and to his offering he had no respect, and Cain was very jealous, and his countenance fell. Look what God said now. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you jealous? And why is this countenance fallen? Why? Now, why did God ask? Do you think God didn't know? What was God doing to Cain? Exactly. He was provoking him to think. What are you doing, son? Just like he said to Adam, where are you? He was making Adam think. You're in the presence of God. Why are you hiding? You can't hide from God. Same thing here. He's making Cain look and see that he should be thinking. He's provoking him. He's working the carnal thought, and that's what he's drawing his attention to. And he said in verse 7, if you do well, you shall not be accept. If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin, or an offense, crouches at the door. And to you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. Well, there's a whole lot of good stuff going on in this verse here. Where's the NAS Bible? It was laying here. There was a New American Standard laying around here somewhere. What's this one? You got it? I want to read something out of that. Just hand it to me. Okay. Genesis chapter 4. I'm in another Bible now. I'm reading another translation. Verse 7. It says this, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Did you hear what it said? That's what the language says very closely. Read it again so you hear it again. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Do you hear what I'm saying? You've got to take those thoughts captive and deal with them. Okay? That's what I was wanting you to see. So he's provoking him to thought and giving him an answer to this thing. And when he says, it's your job to rule over him. Okay? And its desire is for you, but you must master it. And Cain talked to Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. What would make you kill somebody? See, he was jealous, not wrath. The word is jealous. Jealousy will always lead to murdering somebody. Does it mean you physically kill them? See, in your mind, you start to do these things. Oh, I could kill that person. Well, you put those seeds in there and talk about it. You know how many people in prison have said those words and now they are in prison because of it? You're snared by the words of your mouth. Thoughts of your heart. See, you start thinking this stuff, dwelling upon it, and guess what you're going to do? You're going to cultivate something there. You're going to hatch it out. Okay. And Yahweh, here's the Lord again. It's 3068 again. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I don't know. Right? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? What do I got to do with it? I didn't have nothing to do with it. He's lying. We know that, don't we? He's covering something up. But again, was God trying to find out where Abel was? He's making him go back and think what he did. God's whole intent of bringing you through this life is not to see your mistakes so he can throw you in hell and punish you with some eternal punishment. He wants you to think about what you did and reevaluate your thinking process, hello, and go back to where you belong. True or false? Jesus paid the price for the sin, so why is he trying to, you thinking he's trying to extract some penalty out of you? He paid that price. He wants you to understand, hey, if it's okay, just show me that you really do love me and come back to where you belong. Just remember who you are, what your identity is. Okay? And he said, what have you done? What's he doing again? Making him reevaluate what he had spoken and done. The voice of your brother's blood cries or is crying to me, the word should say is crying to me from the ground. You know why? The spirit never is comfortable in flesh, in the earth. Never going to be comfortable, is it? See, because you're always going to feel like an alien. You know that you're not of this world. You don't feel right in anything this world has to offer for you. Your flesh can say it feels good, but you don't feel right. Hello? He knew he was an alien. Why wouldn't I be crying out? You should be crying out in this body saying, God, take me home. Take me home. I don't feel right in this realm of the earth. Because Jesus said it very well. My disciples are not of this world. They're aliens. Hello, we're all aliens. Passing through, sojourners. And now you are cursed. And this word cursed, I don't like the word cursed because it has a stigma with it. The language literally says you're regarded with extreme dislike. Okay? More than the earth, which has opened up her mouth to receive your brothers. And the word her there is not feminine. It should be it. Its mouth, not her mouth. Okay? And to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And when you work the ground, it shall not from henceforth yield to you its strength. See, we got to change these pronouns. They always change them and they make your mind think things. They put the he and the she in there and they put things in there to make you think a certain way. Mother Earth, see? It's just very subtle things that you're thinking. You've got to get these words right. Our language and the way we communicate is through language, true or false. Whether it's written or spoken or even visual. And those pictures, the words that's used in those things mean something. And if we don't understand the meaning of the word, how are we ever going to get the true understanding? See, someone could be sitting here telling you truth, but if you don't understand what they're saying, what good is it to you? You got to be able to communicate. We have to get on the same page and compare apples to apples, not apples to apricots. Got to be on the same page. If I think this word means one thing and you think it means something else, are we communicating? See, we're just bouncing vibrations off of our eardrums. We got to find out what God said it means, then we'll understand what we're saying. You see what I mean? It's got to be what God says it means, not what we think it means. Okay? Okay, where am I at? When you work the ground and not bring forth its strength, a fugitive, or literally, you'll be unstable, and a vagabond shall you be in the earth. The word fugitive there literally speaks of being unstable. You'll be unstable, and a vagabond shall you be in the earth. It means you're not going to have much control of anything. You're not going to be respected by anybody. Absolutely. And he's, what he's saying is, he that loves the fruit of the mouth, the tongue, shall eat, you know, there's life and death in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. He lived it, he created something, and now he's reaping what he sowed. That's all. And God said, okay, you sowed that, now you've got to reap something. That's just the process. And see, what Paul said in Galatians, God has not mocked man, will reap what he sows, was in effect in Genesis. It's not a new thought. He just verbalized it back there. Okay? Now, and Cain said to Yahweh, didn't say it to Elohim, he said it to Yahweh. He says, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Crying. God said he ain't going to put anything on you can't stand. He just don't want to take any of it. Yep, he's very sin conscious. He said, behold, you've driven me this day from the face of the earth, and from your face shall I be hid. And I shall be unstable and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that finds me shall slay me or attempt to kill me. That's what it should say. If it was everyone's going to slay me after the first one did it, what's your concern? Hello? See, that's the miscommunication of the language. It should say attempt to kill me. Everyone's going to try to kill me. That makes sense. But when it says everyone's going to kill me, excuse me, after the first one killed me, I wouldn't have a worry, would I? Okay, wouldn't have to worry about meeting anybody else either, would I? Okay. Get her thinking process in there. And the Lord, that's Yahweh again, said to him, therefore, whosoever attempts to kill Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should attempt to kill him. Okay? Now, something I wanted to say in there. The mark. What is the mark? God, this has sparked conversation from throughout time. What's the mark? It's not 666 stamped on his forehead or his right hand. What it was, he showed him who he was and what realm he was living in. The mark upon him was he was a natural man. He was from Adamah, and from to Adamah he will return. He is dust. That is the dust man. That's you. Don't you see that Cain and Abel is nothing more than you? We have two things going on in our process. We got the natural man we got to deal with that's deceitful and wicked and vile, and we got a spirit inside of us that's sweet and loving and acceptable. And which one are we going to choose? See? He's saying you got two trees in the midst of the garden. Isn't the story through everything setting up the same pattern? We got two here to deal with. In the New Testament, when it talks about what everybody talks about, this foolish thing about the rapture, there's going to be two in the earth. One will be taken and one will be left. Duh, I wonder what he's talking about. It wasn't about two homosexuals because two men was in bed. He didn't say he's in the same bed, did he? See, where's their mind? In the Adamah, in the dirt. But what he's going to do is take the natural man out of the way, and the only thing left is the spiritual man. Come on, this is the picture through the whole book. It's not one view. It's the whole book. And any truth that God gives you, when he shows you a principle, and that's what this book is, it's a book of biblical principles, godly principles, and it flows from Genesis through Revelation, and it all works. If it don't flow through, it ain't right. It's got to flow through. Because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Okay? So it's got to go all the way through. And this is the same pattern he keeps setting up everywhere. This mark that he set upon him was not a literal mark. We can forget that thing because this is a spiritual understanding. What it was the mark of the natural mind. Okay? Natural man. What kind of mark has he got? The mark of a man. Period. He's the mark of the natural man. You don't take a dog and say, here's a cat. The dog's a dog, the cat's a cat. A natural man's a natural man, a spiritual man is a spiritual man. Different as night and day, aren't they? Why do we try to focus upon something that really isn't important to this point? I'm not saying it's not important because it's in here, but I'm saying it's not the main focal point, whether I got a six on my forehead or on my hand. If I am focusing upon Christ, then what do I care about the natural man in me? The focus is the mark, focusing upon the natural man. That's what I mean. But if we're focusing upon Christ, I don't have that mark, do I? Not thinking about self, not being self-centered, the ego, the eye of man, but I'm thinking upon Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith, isn't he? If I think about that, then why do I worry about sin consciousness? Okay? I don't, do I? See, I'm not worried about sin. Sin's been dealt with. That's what the cross was all about. I know I have a different view than a lot of people, but you know, I can't help it. I think that he did what he did, and he finished his work. He said, I'm finished. He went back to the Father. Now it's our turn to work. Okay? Now, where am I at again? 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod. In the land of Nod. What's that mean? Wandering, exile, or vagrancy. He went out in the land of exile. He separated. He even up there and said, you're driving me from your face. That's exile, isn't it? He's out in the wandering someplace in a place of vagrancy. He was wandering. He went out to wander in the desert. Wandering. On the east of Eden. Now, these two words are contradictory almost to each other. What does east represent? But it also represents confusion. Okay? Of Eden. Okay? And Eden is the place of what? Pleasure. So he sent him to land of Nod on the east side of Eden. Now he was sent him toward the land where the east rose, but do you think he was really looking that way? Because which way are you going to go to get back in? If you go east, what do you got to do? You got to go back west. And the sun's shining upon the things that need to be highlighted, doesn't it? So if we got the sun coming over our shoulder, we're going to be highlighted what we're looking at. Would that make sense? It's going to be highlighted a little bit. That's out the front. Yeah, it can be used that way in that context. It can be. Okay? And Cain, what? We know we're talking about having a relation here. They had sex and with his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, which means dedicated, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Now, question being, which everyone asked, where did he get his wife? He was sent, there was only, see, we look at this thing and say, well, there's only a couple people here. Where did he get his wife? Well, there's where that Adama man, that dirt man, begins to work, and them cherubim begin to work in somebody's head, and they say, Cain had a monkey for a wife or an ape. That is so absurd. Oh, no, they teach it in all kinds of churches. They teach that stuff. And that's where black people come from. See, it's totally absurd. God says that a man lying with a beast is an abomination and should die. Now, why would he send a man out to have relations with a monkey? Come on. It's absurd, and somebody listening to that thinks they don't have a brain that works. Because it sure isn't working properly anyway, if it does at all. Now, I'm going to read you something. A very wise man, name of Bullinger, did some work on this. Okay? Let me read something to you. There were 130 years before Seth was born and substituted for Abel in the line of the promised seed. In those 130 years after Cain, Adam must have begotten sons and daughters as in the 800 years after Seth. Okay? If Abel died in 125 AM, which is the way they marked the time then, and Abel and Cain had children before that year, even supposing they had no descendants until they reached the age of 65, Adam could have had at least 130 children. Now, I wonder where he would have got his wife. I don't think so. Okay? And if each of these could have had a child at 65 years of age, and one each successive year, there would have been 1,219 in the year 130 a.m. There's sufficient women there for that. Now, hang on a minute. If we suppose Adam's earlier sons and daughters to have had children at the age of 21 instead of the age 65, there would have been over 500,000 in the year 130. And I'm sure they didn't wait till 65. Well, I can't wait till 65. It was a God-appointed wife out of this generation, okay? Out of these generations. It says, without reckoning the old or the young, or at a very moderate rate of increase, it is generally assumed that Adam and Eve had no children beyond those named, but as in the line of Seth, it is clear from Genesis 5:4 that they had. We may well conclude that the same was the case in the line of Cain. It's gratuitous assumption that Abel had no posterity. It is manifest that the history assumes a considerable population, and the fact that there is no attempt to explain it proves its genuineness and shows that we are left to explain it for ourselves in the only natural way in which it can be explained. Hein and Sheehan is a natural thing, and they're not going to sit around and look at each other for 165 years before they do it. So 500,000 is a very conservative estimate of the time that Cain went out. Okay, that's found in the Companion Bible, if anybody wants to look at it. There's a lot of good information in this book. Okay. Now, we were dealing with Enoch in 17, right? Okay, down into 18. And to Enoch was born Irad. Irad means wild monkeys. Okay? Wild monkeys. It does. Yeah. That's just the natural person, okay? Come on. And Irad begat Mehujael. And it also means, the wild monkeys also means sequestered self. In the language, it means sequestered self. You know, isolated. And he was isolated. And he sequestered himself because of what he did. He put himself in that position. He reaped what he sowed. Okay? And Mehujael which is what? Smitten by God, begat Methuselah, which means man who is of God, and Methuselah begat Lamech, which means powerful. Now, they went all the way around. It came out of the seed of there, but guess out of that seed of Adam, guess what came back out? The seed of God. See? There's something that'll make you happy. No matter where you're going, what's the destination? I mean, no matter where the journey's taking you to, the destination is one place. It's going back to God in power, right? By the Spirit of God. And Lamech took him two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the other was Zillah. Now, what's it mean? Ada means what? Ornament. You know what that means? I'm going to put my twist on this one. She was a good looker. She was eye candy. Okay? She was a good looker. Yep. And the name of the other was Zillah, which means what? Shadow, shade, comfort. Yeah. She was a place of rest. She was a place of protection. Okay? Good one. Keep you warm at night. Mm-hmm. And Ada bare Jabel. Jabel means a stream of water. He was a father of such as dwell in tents and such as have cattle. He was a nomad man. He was a traveling man. I bet he knew he wasn't of this land. I bet he knew he was a sojourner and an alien. What it represents. And his brother's name was Jubal. What does Jubal mean? It means a stream. Where's a bigger stream? More water coming on. And he was the father of all what? That skillfully use is what the language says. Not such as handle, but skillfully use the harp and the organ. Or literally, reed instruments of music. And if you go back in the language and study about this man, you know what they say he was? He was the inventor of musical instruments. He's the one that started them, his bloodline. And what was it created for? To worship God. Now, that's a starting place. Now, every time God starts something else and man gets involved, tell me what happens. Somebody takes a turn that wasn't programmed in the map. They make their own little twist to it. And it's going to come to that, and I'll show you by the end of the chapter. And Zillah, what's that mean? The shade, the protection, okay? She also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass. Now, that's not exactly what it says. Let me read it another way. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, which means possessed of confusion or worldly possessions, okay? Possessed of the worldly stuff. So where's his thinking at? In the Adama, in the world, not in the spirit. An instructor of every what? Artificer in brass and iron. That's not true. It should every fabricator. The word artificer doesn't say what we understand today. He was a fabricator of copper and iron. And what does copper and iron represent? When you put them together, what do you got? Brass. What does iron speak of? Stubborn will, judgment. And what does copper represent, which should be brass, when this whole thing should be brass? Yeah. And what does it come out to? Yeah. What does it? Yeah. But when you mix this together and realize what it's all saying in the spirit, what's it saying? What does brass represent? Well, brass can also represent judgment of what? Sin. Brass represents the judgment for sin. Okay? And the sister of Tubal-Cain was what? Naamah. What does that mean? She was pleasant or lovely. So his sister was pleasant and lovely. Now, again, like I say, we're going to start taking a twist here. And Lamech had how many wives? Two. Two speaks of duality, confusion. There's going to be some problems here. There's going to be some problems. You get two women under one house with one man, and we're going to have a problem. Nobody would disagree with that, would we? Okay. And Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Hear intelligently with the intent to respond, is what he's saying. It's Shammah. Ye wives of Lamech, he said, hearken to me, to my speech. No, he said, listen to my speech. Listen to what I'm saying. Now here's the key. Listen is not hearing the vibrations bounce off your ear. Listen is to hear what is really being said underneath all the words. Okay? Listen to this thing. It's a different word here. Listen. Because I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. Let me read this from another version. It says it very well. And Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, listen to my voice, you wives of Lamech. Give heed to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me and a boy for striking me. He's killed somebody. What did his great-granddaddy do? Same line, same seed, committing murder. He said, I've killed a man for wounding me and a boy for striking me. He's done killed people because of, well, he actually got done double. He done twice what his grandpa did. NAS. The New American Standard says it very well. If Cain shall be avenged seven times, truly Lamech will get 70 and seven times. 70 times seven. Does that bring back anything to you? Yep, that's right. There's a forgiveness involved. He said, what did Peter say? If my brother offends me, how many times should I forgive him? Seven times? And Jesus said what? 70 times seven. 70, 490 times in a day. And it's speaking of unconditional forgiveness, okay? Grace and mercy. And he said, I'm going to surely be avenged 70 times sevenfold. So guess what? He's going to be forgiven. He don't even realize what he's saying. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. What does his name mean? Compensated or substituted. Got somebody else, another seed come in to take its place. Just like when Adam came in, there was another seed coming to take his place. Another one that God says. See, God wanted to show you, in all these times when the one comes in and he gets wiped out or taken out, the other one coming in, it was a purpose. God wanted to show you the failure and the futility of humanity and say, now it's not what you want, but it's what I've chosen before the foundation of the earth. I've set this thing up, and this is the way it's going to work. And the flower fades. Mm-hmm. Same thing. The flesh is going to pass away, but the Spirit of the Lord will always remain. The Word of the Lord will always remain. And He is the Word. Okay. Because God said. What did God say? Now here we're going back talking about Elohim again. We're not talking about Yahweh again. This God here is Elohim. So we're talking about, because Elohim has appointed me another seed instead of, or in the place of, or substituted for Abel, okay, the spirit, whom Cain, because Cain killed him, is what I should say. He gave me another seed because he killed that one. Now, who did she say gave it to her? The first fruit, Elohim. It wasn't Yahweh, it was Elohim gave it back to me. You know why? Because God the Father wasn't doing this. It was Elohim that was doing all the work for him. Why should God be doing all the work and the labor when He is the superior being? Gave you the ability, and it's up to you to now do it. Why do you think the book calls us creators? Because we do create every day. It can be great stuff, or it can be a mass confusion. But we're creating every day of our lives. Something we're creating. Because we have that ability in our mind with them cherubim to create all kinds of things. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son. And he called his name Enos. And what's that mean? Mortal man. What he's saying, it literally says mortal man. Not just man. Man's a shortcut. It means mortal man. What's it saying about him? He's dust too, see? He's dust, but there's something in him. See, there's something in that man. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And all this sounds wonderful, don't it? Oh, it sounds so great, but it's not. It's not. You even wrote it down from one of my notes before in this Bible. Yeah. I know that. And Seth said to him, there was also born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then men began to call upon his name. You know what they began to call? They began to call names of other gods. They began to worship all kinds of other things. Here's the problem beginning right here already. Nope. They already knew there was a God from Cain and Abel because they worshipped and brought sacrifice to him. Think about it. They don't want to provoke your thinking here. They didn't start to call upon the name of God here. They call on the name of false gods. Cain and Abel was already worshiping, weren't they? And didn't Cain take the wrong turn? Okay. So it wasn't that they didn't know about God and all of a sudden, like you would be led to believe here. They were talking about things that wasn't right. They were setting up all kinds of false gods in their mind, in that thinking process again. You see what I mean? It's not about that, because Cain and Abel was already worshiping from the beginning of this chapter, weren't they? So why would it come a couple generations later, now they call upon the name of the Lord? It sounds good, but it's just not correct. See, if you think, and this is what I'm saying about this whole thing about us getting together and talking, I want to provoke you to think about things, see? It just don't fit. It's like six fingers on my hand. It just wouldn't look right. You know, it's five here, four, a thumb and four fingers. An extra finger wouldn't look right. And this picture don't look right when they say they begin to call upon the name of the Lord. They just begin to, when in the very first part of the chapter, they were already doing it. See? Generations down the line, they begin to. Something's wrong. So you got to start looking. And what they did, they started to worship false gods. For their own benefit. Man went full circle, right back into the dust again. Right back into the dust.
All the descendants came from them, and in 100 years they could have 3,200 descendants.
They could have had more than that. Yeah. The way that this man figured it out with his logic was made pretty good sense. They could have had a 500,000 in that 130 years, because all the children that were born were having children and just kept multiplying. Yeah.
100 years,
not more than that. We're just allowing 1 year per child, but after your children get to 20, 21 years old, they could have children or even younger. And you know, so there was like 500,000 people by this time when he was cast out. That's plenty to find him a wife, isn't there?
Huh?
There's plenty there for Cain to find a wife, isn't there? So basically, when it says they began to call upon the name of the Lord, it should say they should begin to falsely call upon the name of God. Go ahead. Go ahead. What? Question.
Is